Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Galatians and the third chapter. Galatians chapter 3 this morning. We are in the midst of a series on the book of Galatians that we have entitled Liberty Through Grace. Paul, the church's great theologian and apologist, writes to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ from the attacks of those who would seek to pollute and pervert the one true gospel. Paul, as a spiritual father, is writing now to the churches of Galatia. He is writing to them, and he has already made a personal appeal to cause them to come back and turn away from the realms of legalism, that they might follow after the true gospel, the gospel of grace. It was Paul that brought to them that gospel. It was Paul who led them to the Lord. And it is now Paul that must defend that gospel because, again, of the error of the Judaizers who wanted to bring men under the curse of the law. The Judaizers had taught that grace was good, that faith was required, but they were not enough. In order for salvation to be complete and fully understood, they must come back under the law and to be brought under the law of men and obey it in every part. We have now entered into the second section of this book, and Paul is moving away from that personal appeal. And as we stated last week, he is beginning to lay out a doctrinal argument. He is going to clearly come to the Word of God, the Scriptures, the Old Testament, and lay before them his argument based on those texts, that salvation has always been by the grace of God and never been by works. Last week we stopped at verse 13 and 14, and we're going to pick up there this morning. We consider that as part of Paul's argument, he made the statement that salvation is of Christ. And this morning, as we prepare to come and gather around the Lord's table and there to worship him, I want to closely look at verse 13 and 14. And I want you to see with me the nature of redemption. Follow along as I read those two verses, and then we're going to bow and ask the Lord's blessing upon our time. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time this morning to be able to come and consider these wonderful verses of Scripture. What a wonderful truth that we have been redeemed from the curse of the law, saved by your grace. And Father, I pray that as we look at these verses, as we prepare ourselves to come and worship again around our Lord's table, that, Lord, you would stir our hearts to see the wonderful nature of that salvation, that redemption. And may we bow this morning and give you thanks. And Father, if there's one here today that's never received of that salvation, who's never been redeemed and set free, then, Lord, I pray today would be the day of that salvation. And we'll thank you, Father, for it. We commit this time unto you, asking for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. As we get underway this morning, I want to begin by taking just a moment or two and seeing with me a review of man's quandary. In chapter 3, in verse 10, we read these words, For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. In verse 10, we're reminded by the Apostle Paul that all men are under the curse of the law. There were those who were seeking to say that salvation was completed by the law. There was deliverance through the law. Paul wanted us to be reminded that all who are under the law are under a curse. They are not set free. That law in which men was seeking to be put under required two things in order for that salvation to be complete. It required that there be a consistency to the law and a complete obedience to the law. Look at what it says again in verse 10. there for us. It says, "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law." Our obedience to the law, if the law was to bring salvation, has to be consistent. We had to continue in all parts of the law. What that means is there is not a moment that you and I could slip or fail in any part of the law. Every day, at every moment, every thought, every action, every intent of the heart had to be completely consistent with the law of God. And if you and I walked away from that consistency of the law, then are we cursed and under condemnation, and we would face, therefore, damnation. But he goes on and says, not only should we be consistent, but our obedience had to be complete, to continue in all things which are written in the law. There is not one minor portion of the law that we could fail in, not one thing that we could break. Every part of the law would have to be followed completely and continually. Now, we've mentioned this before, but think about, folks, how many laws there were in the Jewish system. Over 600 laws. The moral law, none of us can keep. Those Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not lie. We've all failed that one. Even in just a little part, we tell part of the truth, but we withhold some of it as well. We deceive. We've broken the law. Remember the words of James in James chapter 2 and verse 10? James says it this way, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." Just one point. One failure. You can live your life completely by the law, and yet at the moment of your death, fail in one part of the law, you are now cursed and condemned and under damnation. Because the law requires continual and complete obedience. By means of the law, man has been placed in a quandary. He is placed in a position of condemnation because we are unable to keep the law. We are imperfect by nature. Therefore, we are doomed. But that brings us to the truth I really want to consider this morning. That's the truth found in verse 13 and 14. Although there's a review of our quandary, we find redemption is man's victory. What a wonderful truth is laid before us here in verse 13. What beautiful words we find as Paul would write and say, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." We find these wonderful words that remind us of redemption that is offered to all mankind. The law brings condemnation, but grace brings redemption. God's grace has reached out to mankind and has offered salvation to all who would come by faith and receive that gracious gift. Many want to come back under the law. God says we are to walk and live, and we are saved by His grace. We are reminded from the very outset that our salvation, our redemption, is not through us, it is for us. It is not what we do, it is based on what He has done. Christ hath redeemed us. Salvation is by Jesus Christ and Him alone. It is through His work on the cross of Calvary. It is by the shedding of His blood. It was His body broken and His blood that was spilled upon the tree. Man is not redeemed through the means of his own strength, through the works of the flesh, but man is saved because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, God's own anointed. I want to remind you as we consider this thought from verse 13 and 14 of the importance of what it means to be redeemed. That term redeemed, in fact, in the Greek language, there are four different words that speak of redemption. The one that is used here simply means to buy out of the market. The word itself has the idea or carries the idea of removing or the removal. And so what Paul is reminding us here this morning is Christ hath redeemed. He has bought us out of the slave market. He has removed us and he has given us our freedom. Freedom in Christ. We have been redeemed from the curse of the law. We have been removed from that curse. We have been purchased. We have been bought out of the market by Christ on the cross of Calvary. The believing sinner is removed from the slave market of sin. He is removed from the curse of the law. What a blessing it is, folks, that Christ hath redeemed us. This morning we gather around the Lord's table in just a few moments, and as we do so, it is a reminder that we have been redeemed. We have been removed from the slave market of sin. We are no longer under bondage. We are under grace. Why would we want to now go back under the curse of the law? Christ hath removed us from that curse, of that condemnation. He has given us salvation by his grace. As we consider that redemption, there are a few things I want you to see with me in relation to it. Number one, as we talk about the nature of our redemption, I want you to see that the work of Christ is finished. It is complete. Paul says that Christ hath redeemed us. The idea of the verb there is that the work is done. He hath redeemed. That work is finished. That work is complete. It was something that has already been accomplished. It is not something that has to still be done. We've said it many times this way in our study. I want to say it again because grace proclaims that the work is done. Whereas the law requires us to do. But Christ hath redeemed. The work is finished. The work is done. There is nothing that man can do in order to be saved. That redemption has already been purchased. There's nothing I can give. There's nothing I can do in order to earn what has already been purchased for me. God offers that as a gift of his grace to all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But that work of redemption is done. I'm so glad for that. Because, folks, I can't be consistent enough to keep the law. And I can't keep the law in its completeness. Christ has fulfilled the law in every part. The work is done. You and I need to rejoice in the very nature of our salvation is that the work is finished. It is done. The writer of Hebrews reminds us that he, Jesus, offered one sacrifice for sins forever. He paid the penalty. Our redemption, one writer said it this way, is a historic event. It is complete and non-repeatable. It is done. As we continue to look at the very nature of salvation, I also want you to see with me that our redemption is personal. Christ hath redeemed us. Christ hath redeemed us. As you and I remember the work of the Savior this morning, we must remember that he died for us. His body was broken for us. His blood was shed for us. He had you in mind. He died. He redeemed you and me. He died for us. And our redemption needs to be considered so personal that Christ would die for us. I've always marveled at the words of Isaiah 53, because Isaiah 53 truly makes it very personal. All we like sheep went astray. We turned everyone to our own way. But the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He did it for us. He died for you. He died for me. Redemption is personal. It is an act of God on the behalf of mankind, and it was you that he died for. As we partake of the elements of our communion this morning, as we remember that body broken and that blood shed, we ought not to just think, yeah, he did that for the world. He did. But he did it for you. He did it for me. He hath redeemed us. It's personal. But I also want you to note with me that it's powerful. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Man, because of sin, is under a curse. One that in his own self, in his flesh, he is incapable of escaping. There is no way for you and I to escape the curse of the law. We are condemned in our flesh, in our own selves. In fact, in Romans 6:23, it says that the wages of sin is death. We deserve death based upon that which we have done. We are under the curse of the law. Sin brings a curse, and the Bible makes it clear that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all deserving of that death. No man is able to keep the law. And the Bible says that there is none righteous. No, not one. We are under the curse of the law. We are incapable of escaping that curse in our flesh, in our effort. We cannot be that consistent and that complete according to the law. The law was designed to show us our inability to save ourselves. And it points us to the one who is able to save, Jesus Christ. But Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. It is a powerful redemption. By his finished work on the cross of Calvary, by the shedding of his blood, there is remission of sin. We are redeemed, set free, removed from the curse. What wonderful redemption God has given. I want you to see with me next that Paul continues to lay this argument of salvation by grace. He reminds us that redemption was made possible because of Christ's own substitution. Notice what he says. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. The vicarious work of Christ. His substitutionary sacrifice. That concept and that thought that he who was God, he who was holy, he who was set apart from sin, he who lived even on this life and this earth completely in accordance to the law, became a curse for me. He became a curse that I might be freed from the curse that I deserve. His substitutionary work. I want you to hold your place here with me. Just turn for a moment to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. In chapter 1 and verse 18, Peter says, "For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations, received by the traditions of your fathers." By the way, that phrase, the traditions of your fathers, would remind them of Judaism and their old religious ways. Peter is writing to Jews. "But you were redeemed," verse 19, "with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." In chapter 2 and verse 22, it says of Christ, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." That's a remarkable statement in light, folks, of what we consider this morning. His body broken, his blood shed. In Isaiah 53, it says, "He suffered all of those things and he opened not his mouth. He went as a sheep to her shearers is dumb." Probably one of the hardest things for us to do in keeping of the law and living as we ought is handling situations properly when things go wrong around us. When someone mistreats us, we're ready to lash out. Our thoughts go to sinful thoughts. Let's face it, they do. But Christ, when reviled, reviled not again. When Christ was afflicted and Christ was scourged, he did not threaten, but committed himself unto God. But look at verse 24. "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed." He bore our sin in his own body. He became a curse for us. The key to that whole phrase, by the way, there in Galatians 3, is that word "for." That word "for" has the idea, it means instead of. It carries that idea of substitution in our place. He became a curse instead of us receiving the curse. He bore our sin in his body. He who was holy became a curse for us. He bore the wrath of Almighty God upon his own body, that you and I would not have to be under such condemnation. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might know the righteousness of God. All we like sheep went astray. We turned everyone to our way. Yet God laid on him the iniquity of us all. It was for our sins. It was for our sins he was wounded. It was for our sins he was bruised. It was for our sins that he suffered. And it was by his suffering, by his stripes, we've been healed. Verse 14 gives us the final consideration this morning. And that is, our redemption was purposeful. You're going to see twice in verse 14 the word "that." And it delineates for us two purposes that I want you to consider. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law by being made a curse for us, that, first of all, we might have a right position. Notice what he says. "That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ." When we by faith call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and we accept that offer of salvation, we are given the right position. You'll remember from our study last week that Abraham was saved not by the works of the law, not by receiving the covenant through circumcision, but by his grace and through his faith.
By faith, he believed God, and because of that faith, it was imputed to him for righteousness. We are saved by that same faith, and we are given that same position as Abraham, the father of the faithful, was given. It is not by the law, it is not by works, because Abraham is far before the law. And his salvation was even before circumcision.
And when we by faith receive that Jesus Christ hath redeemed us by the curse of the law, there's a purpose that those who believe would be given the right position, justified by faith. Christ hath redeemed us that we might be placed in that right position. But he also says that there's a purpose for the right power. Look at the end of the verse. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That second "that" refers to the power that we receive as the Spirit of God indwells us. By the Spirit's power, we are sanctified and we are made more like Christ. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit, and that he, through the power of his working in our lives and the Word of God, might conform us to the image of Jesus Christ, that we would be sanctified, free completely from the power of sin. You and I still struggle there in our own lives. We struggle to live out of that power, the bondage of sin, but we have been given the promise of the Spirit that as we yield to the Spirit of God, we produce not the works of the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit within our lives. So we have been redeemed that we might be in the right position and we might have the right power to walk in the power of the Spirit. Beloved, it's a precious thing this morning that we're able now to come and gather around the Lord's table to remember his body broken and his blood shed. For Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. In just a moment, as we gather together and as we partake of those elements, that bread which reminds us of his body broken, that juice reminds us of his shed blood, I trust that our heart would rejoice in those words, in that thought, that we have been redeemed. We have been set free. We have been removed from the curse and the condemnation of the law. We have been given salvation full and free, not based on our works, not based on our merit, but based on what Jesus Christ has already done. There is nothing to do. The work is done. By faith, we receive the gift of redemption. How precious are those words, that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. I trust that in the days ahead, you and I would walk now and live by faith and in light of the grace of our God. Let's pray together, and then we'll sing as we prepare ourselves for the time around the Lord's table. Shall we pray?